The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We'll kick things off at Old Trafford, where it was pretty much a carbon copy of what we saw midweek against Burnley. This time, though, Manchester United drawing 1-1 against Southampton. They had put in an impressive stint in the first half, Jadon Sancho making it 1-0. But then just 2 minutes after break, a great goal from Adams would see the equaliser, and that's how it finished. And Manchester United 1, Southampton 1. You take a look at the table, it means that it stands, United level on points with West Ham, but Spurs and Arsenal have got games in hand over Ralf Rangnick's side. Well, for more on this result, let's welcome in, shall we, Jan-Arne Fjørtoft and Don Hutchinson. Well, Craig, I want to start with you, though. Can we just play what you said after the Burnley game for this game? Is it that simple?
Well, look, United played some good stuff in the first half. Pogba was hard to play against. He was really strong in possession. Good defensive possessions, good use of the ball from him, out-muscling people and then just popping it off and playing good balls. Fernandes playing balls in behind at the right time. Good pace on the wing, the wide positions from Rashford and from Sancho. I have to say, Ronaldo's still off the pace, for sure. But the game lasts 90 minutes. It's 90 minutes. So they cannot get the job done. And that's just factual. I know I'm stating the obvious, but they can't put 90 minutes together.
Right.
And that's a problem. That's a big problem. Now, for those that saw, I didn't see Southampton play recently and seen them at Tottenham in midweek, they were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant at Tottenham. So United knew they were in for a game. And Southampton were super competitive and played well. So from that respect, United should have known what was coming. But no surprises. Maguire looking edgy, particularly in the second half at the back. Lacking confidence up front. Not really controlling the game for 90 minutes in the middle of the park, although Pogba certainly for 45 was excellent. But again, nobody's throwing their hat in the ring saying, I'm the team.
No.
You mentioned Tottenham with three games in hand. Would you trust them? No, you bloody wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't trust
them either. But for United, this 90 minutes putting this package together is a problem.
Don, I've seen people offer up the excuse, well, Rangnick wants them to run more, to press more, so inevitably they're going to tire as the game goes on. Yet, as we saw against Burnley...
What, in 46 minutes?
This is just 2 minutes into the second half.
47.
What's going on? Why are we seeing this kind of lacklustre display right off the bat after the break?
I think they're mentally shot. I think they are. I think I'm looking at the players now and I'm thinking, you've got so little confidence. Do you remember last season when they kept going behind, especially away from home, and their mentality was strong and they'd have confidence and they'd win games away from home when they went behind. Now it's the other way around, which you can't put your finger on. They're taking leads. They're desperate for the second goal. They've got no control over a game whatsoever. When Man City go 1-0 up, you've got total faith in Man City will just have the thought process, possession is king. We'll beat you 1-0. If we score 2 and 3 and 4, we'll take it. But 1-0 will be enough because we're quality. You look at Man United, and I've been saying, probably since the Middlesbrough game, since the Burnley game, those performances were on the players. I thought the one today, the performance today was on the manager, because I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, Ronaldo's been bang out of form. Bruno's been bang out of form. Harry Maguire's bang out of form. Well, if I'm sitting here thinking they're out of form, well, when's the manager going to change them? When the manager's going to put what he thinks his best 11s on the pitch? Because I don't think he's doing that at the minute. I think he's playing or picking players on reputation. I think they are fading. I think Ralf Hasenhüttl said after the game, which I trust, and I think he's absolutely correct in what he was saying, where he said they had one day's less rest than Man United, and for 45 minutes they looked leggy. Second half, they found their stride, and second half, Southampton were actually a little bit unlucky they didn't win the game.
What'd you do with Ronaldo, Jan?
Well, what do you do with Ronaldo? What do you do with a lot of the players at Manchester United? I think that it was quite interesting to watch the game today of the two Ralfs, Hasenhüttl and Rangnick. And I think that when Ralf Rangnick tonight sits and analyzes that game, he thinks of Ralf Hasenhüttl that he brought to Leipzig because he played his way of playing. And when he saw Southampton in this game today against Manchester United, he thought, I wish we play that way. I wish we had that intensity in the game. And Dunn was quite nice when he said, was Ralf Hasenhüttl said after the game, because he more or less said, everybody knows that Manchester United won't run as back intensity like we know. Yeah. And we will take advantage of that. And I think that for Ralf Hasenhüttl, I know him, he's a polite guy. And Rangnick, the other Ralf, has been some kind of his mentor. But what he said about Manchester United, that is, I mean, that is not surprising. It's scandalous. Can you imagine that he, an opposition manager, after Old Trafford, he tells them, we know they can't run at the back, so we take advantage of that. We just wait. This is the third game in a row. They're 1-0 up. Just wait till the second half. It's the same procedure as every game, Miss Sophie. And that's what happened today again.
Cut from the same cloth, aren't they? And I was saying this to you before. I would certainly at the moment, and Rangnick's not been in there long, but I'd take Ralf Hasenhüttl over Rangnick at the moment all day, every day. I think what he's done at Southampton, bearing in mind the budget, and he walks back every summer, and he must walk back into the dressing room and say, who's left?
Sure.
Who's left? Who have they not sold? And what he's done there with that budget and these players, to take nothing away from the guys that are there, you know, left back from France, Broja on loan, you know, Romeo and Ward-Prowse. El Yunusi was at Celtic for a couple of seasons, couldn't get going in England. The intensity that they play with is exactly the intensity that Manchester United need, but can't put together for more than a very small period in each game. So yeah, it's hard to get the answer about what is the answer to all these problems at the moment. I suppose he might have to be looking at leaving Ronaldo out again and finding an option for that position. Now, this player is out of form, but it might be playing Marcus Rashford through the middle for his pace.
Okay.
It might be making a decision like that. You know, we saw Jesse Lingard come in. Maybe we see a little bit more prominence from him towards the end of the season. It's a difficult one, a difficult conundrum for him to fix. There are some flashes of good play, just not enough of them.
Another difficult conundrum is this, Jan. Who's going to finish fourth?
Yeah, this is a very good question. I mean, I'm with Craig. I mean, how can we trust Tottenham? They have a middle name of it's so typical Tottenham kind of thing. Arsenal, you just feel that they have the young freshness. They could go for, they're like a teenagers in a grown-up shop sometimes, but they still can make it. Manchester United, you think they have the material, but they don't have a structure at the moment. And we not even talked about Fernandes. Where is he playing? I don't know. I tried to see where he's playing. I have no idea. Ralf Rangnick will sit at home again, thinking, where is he playing? I mean, I can't understand that. So I think that we just have to support West Ham now, won't we? Because that will be the best story. And we think that David Moyes will find a way that they will take that fourth position.
It's crazy, Don. No one's stepping up.
No, and would you bet on Tottenham beating Wolves tomorrow?
No.
You wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't. You don't know. But at some point, someone's got to go. Someone's got to actually take a step back and go, right, this is on. And I think everyone's been sort of feeling the same. I watched Ralf Hasenhüttl and I watched Antonio Conte in the Spurs-Southampton game the other day. And it was really edgy. It was loads of friction between the two managers. And when Tottenham were winning 2-1, Conte was giving it, and he was giving it large to Hasenhüttl, because he realised if they beat Southampton, with everyone around them sort of dropping points, it's there for Tottenham. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the game, they lose at 3-2, and he's soaking wet, and he looked dishevelled. Now it's sort of back to Antonio Conte tomorrow. It's like Man United are dropping points. Have Arsenal got it? Have West Ham got a big enough squad to try and make it? I think West Ham have got a chance, Dan, in all honesty, but I think how thin their squad is, I think they'll just fade. And my money at the minute, as I'm sitting here tonight, is on Tottenham. But fast forward this time tomorrow night, if Wolves take points off them, then who knows? Who wants it? Who's not going to bottle it?
I think Arsenal are a better side than Tottenham for me. I look at Tottenham's defenders and it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Must be giving Conte to some sleepless nights. I think if Arsenal can sort their discipline problems out, and that's a big issue for them, they've got a chance. They've got a chance because they've got a relatively solid back line. They've got a goalkeeper who's playing well. They've got some youngsters that are flexible from midfield to forward. And then it's whether they can get a tune out of Lacazette between now and the end of the season, if that's what they choose to do. But if they continue to have players sent off, then that's going to be a huge problem for them. But if I was Arsenal, and I would, after a month of the season, I didn't think I'd be saying this, is that I think I'd be feeling good looking at the rest.
Yeah.
That actually, there's nothing to be scared of here. And I think they've got as good a chance as any. I'm not saying they've got the best squad, but they're probably the most, one of the most informed teams. And they've already shown that they can go to Wolves, not play brilliantly, have a man sent off and grind out a 1-0. That's not a bad thing to do.
Elsewhere, Frank Lampard registered his first Premier League victory with Everton, a comfortable 3-0 win over Leeds United. An important 3 points as well, of course, when you take a look at the bottom of the table, means that it's now 5 points that separate Everton and Norwich, who currently sit 18th. Go on then, Don, get excited.
Frank was amazing, wasn't he? Went back to 4-4-2, just made it easy for the players, simplified it. Listen, if you could bottle a performance and show anyone across the world how Everton should win a game, it was that type of performance. It was players tracking back. It was running hard. It was winning 50-50s. Alan was getting around the pitch in midfield. I mean, granted, Michael Keane and Mason Holgate played up against Dan James, who played as a false nine, and that didn't work. And Rodrigo struck the crossbar on the stanchion, and it could have been 2-2 at half-time. It was a little bit nervy. But Donny van der Beek played alongside Alan. He had more legs than Andre Gomez. At the top end of the pitch, Richarlison had a relationship with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Anthony Gordon on the right-hand side was amazing. It wasn't a sort of an amazing performance, Dan. It was one of them, if you asked Evertonians before the game, they would have been anxious. They would have been petrified. They would have been watching this game behind the sofa because it was such a big game. And if you had asked them before the game, will you take a 1-0, ugly, scrappy win and move on, they would have took it all day long. And it wasn't just the win. And I think Frank said after the game, the performance was excellent. It was really, really good.
Did you send Frank a message? Did he get blue ticked, Don?
I'll let him enjoy that one. I'll bug him when he needs it.
He's blocked him.
He's just ghosted him.
He sent my text message. It went green. It didn't go through. Interestingly, Don, you mentioned how energetic it was for Everton. Yeah. So where does that leave? I know it's very early. Where does Dele Alli fit into all this eventually?
It's on him, Craig. He came on and he'd done some nice little bits. He produced a great little bit of skill on the right-hand side where he put a cross in for Rondon and he sort of had a left-foot volley in the top corner and Melier put off a good save. I think it's on Dele Alli now and I think he's got the right manager in Frank. And listen, how can you turn around and go, well, the manager to blame when you go through people like Pochettino and Jose and Conte and Nuno and now he's got Frank Lampard? I think it's one of them now where I think Frank will be honest with him and I think he'll say to him, listen, you know, we've got you on a free transfer and I think the fee rises to sort of £30-40 million if they win the Champions League and he plays a million games. So it's all on the player. It's all on the player. Dele Alli now has to look in the mirror, Craig, look himself and go, right, I'm 25. I've got 10 years left in the game. It's on me. I can't keep blaming these managers. But what he needs, which he didn't really have today again, and the same in the Newcastle game, he doesn't really have that fire in his belly yet. So whether that's self-confidence or he needs Frank to put an arm around him or he's got to find it himself. Listen, he's got to get going, mate, honestly, because at 25, he's got 10 years in the game and it'd be such a shame if he just wasted it having those managers that he's sort of played under.
Thank you very much, boys. More from Jan and Don on the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig with us as well, where he has some choice words for those celebrating Chelsea's Club World Cup success. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Villarreal 0, Real Madrid 0 is how it finished at the top of the table. Real Madrid really struggling in front of goal, especially without Karim Benzema. They were poor in the first half. Gareth Bale handed a rare start. He hit the crossbar a couple of times, but in the end, it was a rather lackluster performance from Ancelotti's side. Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, I tell you what, the more they miss Karim Benzema, the more it shows on the pitch, doesn't it?
Exactly, the model of the pressure they are going to receive, the players. Now Champions League is going to be back. You're going to continue have to move in for Ancelotti's side to bring the best players. And it's true that we recall a little bit, the draw against Celtic. They won only 1-0 against Granada, struggling so much to score a goal. And today they got another draw. And in the first half, they could have received a few goals. So at the end, that I think is going to be a big concern for Ancelotti, the way of managing the squad, the rotation that he's going to need to use for the coming weeks, because definitely Sevilla is going to be there. He continued, Betis is behind it. So at the end, they're going to need to continue performing every single week in and week out. And I have to tell you that the squad is not as deep as we were expecting. So let's see if they got enough to arrive to the last March and, well, they can continue at the top of the table.
We thought they were home and hosed, really, didn't we, as champions elect?
Yeah, that is a big problem for them. But I think the other end of the field is also a problem. I don't know what the situation is with the injuries and suspensions ahead of the PSG game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Ferland Mendy. But
Mendy's out, isn't he?
Mendy's out. So, you know, he's got a decision to make. Marcelo, I mean, every time down that right-hand side, Villarreal in the first half, he got roasted, he got beat. Now, if that happens against PSG, the chances are you're not coming out of it unscathed, right? That's going to kill you. So then he's got a question mark. Does he move David Alaba back to that left back where he started the season? Of course, he has a natural left back, but he's played really well at centre half for Real Madrid and for Bayern Munich. Do you bring Nacho in and move him? Your options are limited. So there's some big decisions to be made. One in the fitness of Karim Benzema, that may be made for him, who knows? Or he could decide to risk and reward, but that.
How much would you risk him then for Tuesday's game against PSG?
I wouldn't. Not seeing the situation now in La Liga. We were talking about this earlier on the live show for the Atleti game. If they play him in this game and that hamstring completely goes, you're probably looking around 8 weeks. And without him in the front line, there's a proper title race on.
Right.
Not that there's not already.
Yeah.
But I think they've already shown Carlo Ancelotti that it's such a problem for him not having Benzema. He tried Isco last week, it didn't work. He's tried Bale today, it was lackluster. He doesn't want to play Hazard in that position. He doesn't fancy Jovic. That's an issue.
Yeah,
it's a big, big problem. They cannot afford to lose him for a couple of months, and he'll have to make that decision this midweek.
What do you think he's going to do, Luis? What would you do? Risk Benzema, try and continue in the Champions League, or rest him to make sure you guarantee yourself La Liga?
Actually, I wouldn't risk Benzema at all. I mean, not even thinking about what is going to happen in La Liga or if we are going to manage to get a good result against PSG. He's your key player. You have realized that from the beginning of the competition, scoring goals, the attraction of the players that he's got, the assisting, the quality he brings to the team. So when you have a muscle problem, you cannot risk. He hasn't play at all. When you are in training, probably you're going to feel comfortable, but it's totally different when you are on the field for a game. The distances are bigger. Your mind is concentrating what you have to do, so knowing your muscles. So I wouldn't risk a player who has got a tiny thing in a muscle. So I would rest and see, give it some minutes maybe in the next week a competition in La Liga and see if he's available for the second part of the Champions League.
Meanwhile, on Sunday, it's all about Espanyol against Barcelona. We'll, of course, be bringing you everything you need to know about that game on the next edition of the show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Huge shock in the Bundesliga. Bochum beating Bayern Munich by 4-2. It started well with Lewandowski opening the scoring for the visitors, but Bochum just turned it on just before half time to make it 4-1. Lewandowski getting one back in the second half, but couldn't find any more. So it's Bochum who win by 4-2, picking up all 3 points. Bayern remain clear at the top of the table. Borussia Dortmund with the opportunity to close the gap then to 6. They take on Union Berlin on Sunday. Jan Fjortoff, how did this happen?
Well, spoiler alert, Bayern will win again and again and again the German Bundesliga. But it was quite interesting before this game because Manuel Neuer was out, Sven Ulreich in. They sold Süle, or they're losing Süle in the summer. He chose to go to number 2, Dortmund, which surprised all Germany. And it was very surprisingly when you saw Upamecano and Süle today, they were absolutely rubbish. They were so bad that they took Upamecano off at half time. But having said that, you showed it in your from the game. Fantastic goals from Bochum in Ruhrstadion. Fantastic atmosphere. This is a great, working, tough, good team that fight for it. And yes, I tried. I thought at 4-1. 4-2, I thought, okay, we'll have 4-3 now. And Lewandowski hit the post or bar a bit later. But 4-2, losing. And the worrying thing for Bayern, I will say, this is a game they won 7-0 in the first game against Bochum. And Joshua Kimmich said after the game, I said, we have to be aware because a big team like like Bayern Munich now, they did the same in Gladbach in the Cup. 5 goals there. 4 goals now, and there is something about this Bayern team that we haven't seen before, that these results try to pop up. I mean, we haven't seen a result like this since Franz Beckenbauer was a kid, I guess. I mean, I was in Frankfurt Stadium today, and every time there came a signal in the stadium with a goal, people were, well, has Bochum scored again? Yes, they have. I mean, 4-1 at halftime, and those 6 minutes in first half, I've never seen something like that when Bayern is on the pitch.
How significant is this, considering obviously Bayern are going to win the Bundesliga, but for the Champions League?
Well, I think they will start doubting because they always say, when Manuel Neuer out, well, Sven Ulreich will do his thing. Remember, they sent the young goalkeeper, Nübel, they sent him to Monaco. I think for this time, I'm going to Salzburg on Wednesday, and no disrespect to Salzburg, but I think that Salzburg will be is a good draw for Bayern Munich. They will go through there, and Lewandowski will get his goals. He got 2 as well today. But we'll see. You're talking about Benzema, how long he will be out. They say 4 weeks now for Manuel Neuer. Give him 1 or 2 extra weeks, then they are going. That is going to be a bit worrying for them because I think the disadvantage for Bayern, I don't think they will admit that, but we have to start talking about, when we talk about PSG in France not having the great games at the weekends before a Champions League. Well, today they had a great game before the Champions League, but it seems to be the thing that Bayern usually can use 80-90% to win games in the Bundesliga. They got to be top fit, and they can't concede goals as they're doing at the moment in the Champions League.
Jan, Craig mentioned it. Borussia Dortmund in action tomorrow against Union Berlin. How are they going to muck this one up?
Well, they find a way, won't they? I mean, Union Berlin done their best. They sold Max Kruse to Wolfsburg. I looked at him today, Craig, and I must say, we are slimmer than him, by the way, and he was the best man on the pitch. I mean, unbelievable to watch that player. But they're playing Union Berlin tomorrow. They got a lift after that Leverkusen debacle when they got Süle. That made a confidence of them. But they will probably find a way tomorrow. I doubt that Erling Haaland will be in. They have to find a way not conceding goals. And Union Berlin, with a couple of fans, is a frightening opposition. They are one of those... Well, that is a team that everybody has as a second favourite team in Germany. So it's going to be a great game to be at.
Much more on the Bundesliga over on our ESPN FC YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and subscribe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's turn our attentions to what happened in Italy. The big game, of course, in Naples. Napoli taking on Inter. Insigne would open the scoring for the host. Edin Dzeko, though, just after the break, getting the equaliser, meaning it finishes one apiece. The ideal scenario, really, for Milan. They'll be more than happy to see those sides drop points. Inter, 1 point clear at the top. Napoli in second. Milan in third, of course, will play tomorrow. Don 1-1. Was that a fair result?
I feel a little bit for Napoli, to be honest, Dan. I mean, what I would say, if you go back to the Liverpool-Man City games over the last 2 or 3 years and you're watching a game of football and you think, this is proper standard, this was the game today. Napoli and Inter played a game today like it was, they'd been told Napoli and Inter, there's no more football ever again. You guys are the last two teams to play a match and it was a million miles an hour. Koulibaly was going through Edin Dzeko. Victor Osimhen was getting it off Skriniar and De Vrij at the back. There was battles going on over the pitch. The referee deserved a lot of credit because there were some really big, harsh tackles going in. The referee was going play on, which made the tempo great. Napoli were the better side, in my opinion. And I think Inter, being away from home, I think under the stress of the game and how good Napoli were, I think Inter will gladly take a point, Dan, and then move on because it was a tough game for them.
What's this mean for the title race, Don?
Well, it opens it back up for sure. I mean, Milan play Samp tomorrow. Atalanta play Juve. So they've got it on those two to try and get in the top four. It's on because Napoli are just a completely different side. You know, Juve spent 70 million on Vlahovic. Well, if he's 70 million, Victor Osimhen's 100 plus. Because this kid, I don't think I've ever seen a striker that's so brave. You know, he was getting smashed from behind. Whenever he bounces on the floor, he just pops back up. He takes more tackles from behind, and he was getting nailed in tackles and 50-50s. And he's brave. He's just come back from a really bad cheek, sort of smashed cheekbone, where I think he's got sort of loads of screws in his eye socket, and he's wearing a mask, and he's putting his head in. Without him, Napoli, I don't think, have got a title race on. And Milan, you know, they've got to get their defenders fit, and they're relying on Zlatan and Giroud, and they've got some brilliant midfield players. So to answer your question, it's all on. Title race is bang open again.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it for now. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next, where Craig, I promise you, will have lots of lovely things to say about Chelsea. Extra Time, Craig Burley with us in the studio. Don Acheson is with us, as is Craig Burley's defender in chief. Jan Arge Fjortoff, because Craig put out a tweet, if you're not on Twitter, what was the basis of it? Basically,
it gives us stuff about the club world.
Yes, that's pretty much, that sums it up quite nicely, which provoked a lot of Chelsea fans getting very angry at you.
And what would I care about that?
Because the...
Let me tell you something, right? Club World Cup, while Chelsea are off there, and we put up a graphic on the show.
Yes.
We're going to talk about it, but other things preceded. And about here's the list of achievements. I get that. They're off playing in it, right? I don't even watch this competition. I think it's a nonsense. But they're off salivating about winning it. You've got Romelu Lukaku scoring a good header. You've got Kai Havertz scoring a penalty. Do it when it matters. All right, Havertz scored in the Champions League final. As they're off celebrating like they've won the World Cup, Manchester City are racking up a 16-point lead on Chelsea, where it really matters. The Premier League. The big competition for them. And they're off there celebrating like they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And meanwhile, they're getting their backside booted all over the place from Manchester City. It's embarrassing.
But Chelsea fans will say, hey, wait a minute.
Chelsea
wait,
fans, wait, I don't
wait,
give
wait,
a
wait, wait a minute,
that's
Craig Burley. The only reason we're in this competition is because we beat Manchester City
right.
in the Champions League final.
That's
so give
fine.
Us our due. We've earned a place here. We've
Champions
earned,
League
a, we've earned
yeah.
a reason
Champions
to celebrate.
Champions League final is fine. Winning the Premier League is fine. The Club World Cup is a nonsense. It's a showcase event. It's a plastic trophy. I don't buy £100 million strikers to win the bloody Club World Cup. I buy them to challenge Manchester City and Liverpool in the Premier League. They haven't done it. They're 16 points behind. They have not a snowball's chance of winning it this year. And the way they're playing, they've got no chance of winning it next year. So spare me this plastic fans, plastic cup, Club World Cup nonsense. Your bread and butter is the Premier League, and
you
Man City are whipping your backsides.
Chelsea fans say you're bitter from 1997.
Yeah, he's bitter.
That's it.
I'm bitter. Chelsea fans, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Half these Chelsea fans weren't even Chelsea fans in 1997. They've jumped on the Roman Abramovich bandwagon, most of them. They weren't even able to name players from the 80s and 90s, half of these supporters. Trust me.
Craig Burley, I mean, if you take his initials, it's Craig B. It stands for Craig Bitter. I mean, let the boys and girls and fans go to somewhere in Arabia for some oil money. Go there and win the Club World Cup. Just to make you so bitter now, I hope
bitter.
That Abramovich, listen to me now, I hope that Abramovich will make a deal with Elon Musk, Amazon, whoever, to play Saturn, Mercury, Uranus, and they will play a global Earth planet kind of competition just to make you bitter. I mean, the Premier League, they win the Premier League, they win the Champions League, let them have the Club World Cup. Don't be so bitter because you couldn't play that final back in the 90s.
What is the Club World Cup? What is it?
You don't even know
that. It's the winner, isn't it? Winner of the Champions League, winner of the Copa Libertadores, winner of...
What does it mean? What is it? Some showcase game in the middle of the season, a few games here and there, a bit of a jolly up, take it to somewhere where half the fans can't even go to, so the fans
are there. You can say that about everything. You can say that about everything.
Your bread and butter.
You can say that about the FA Cup, the League Cup, the European Cup, the Conference League, the Champions League.
They don't play the FA Cup in the Middle East. Your bread and butter is the Premier League. Where are they in the Premier League? I'll tell you where they are. A country mile behind Man City, they've been an embarrassment. That's where they are.
They won the Champions League.
Yeah,
they won the Champions
year.
League.
That was last year.
Yeah, and
Liverpool
made the rights to play.
Liverpool won the European Cup in the 80s.
I'm not
still piping on about that.
You
that
just bitter because you didn't play that FA Cup final.
I did play the FA Cup final. That was 2 years before. 8 years before.
Don, where do you stand on the gravitas, the importance of the Club World Cup?
I don't mind it, Dan. Right? I'm liking Jan.
To be honest, Don, let's be honest. You'd got the opening of a fridge.
Listen,
seriously.
John Terry come out yesterday and went, he's devastated that he's never won that competition.
Oh, shut
it's
up.
It's got a little bit of prestige
John Terry's devastated
about it.
Because he never won the Club World Cup. spare me the crocodile.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Away and don't talk nonsense.
Listen, if you're in the competition, in the sun, go and win it. Go and win it.
Oh, I'm not saying don't
we
go.
We had joy. We
I'm
had
not
fun,
saying don't
we
go
have
and win it.
In
I'm
the
saying
sun.
Don't paint it as a picture of some superior experience and achievement.
You just
when you're 16
bitter.
Points behind Manchester City in the Premier League, give your head a wobble.
Oh goodness
yeah,
me!
Yeah, but Man City would love to play in that competition. Champions League.
Yeah, they're too busy winning all the domestic trophies.
Dan, I have to ask you as the neutral expert here, who was the manager who didn't let Craig play in that final?
Well, that was Ruud Gullit, wasn't it?
Yep. Oh, so he's the reason why this man is so bitter.
You know the trouble is with people these days, they just can't get it when people take the truth serum.
Oh, dear.
Like some padded nonsense. Some padded...
Craig, get a passport in the time... Craig, get a passport and come back from the past.
All right, I tell you what, we've won the Club World Cup. Let's get back and put an assault on the Premier League tie. Oh, hold on. No, we can't because we're so far behind.
Ah, oh, dear me.
Are we playing in the Club World Cup because we won the Champions League?
I wouldn't watch it if it was getting played in that desk in front of me.
Oh, the Chelsea fans are so right on Twitter. You just bitter.
Okay, let's move on. How many more...
I don't spend my time mingling.
How many more points...
No, because you're using facts.
How many more points does Maguire have to cost United before he sat on the bench, Don?
Well, he got taken out of the side, didn't he, last month or the month before? And I actually thought Varane and Lindelof actually looked quite good as a pair. Me and Frank LaBeouf had an argument. I'm not sure if Jan Craig, I don't think, was on the show a couple of days back. And Frank LaBeouf said, oh, you can't take the armband off Harry Maguire. It'll kill his confidence. And I was going, well, is that how soft these United players are? If you take the armband off someone, it might kill their confidence. It might just be the best thing for Harry Maguire if he does get the captaincy taken off him and he's taken out the side, because at the minute, he's got no confidence whatsoever.
Craig,
well, that is breaking, Dan. That is breaking news. Maguire got confidence. I didn't know that.
it doesn't make sense. How can you leave Maguire out the side? And I was on that show, Ron. I didn't quite get what Frank meant. I think Don said that day to Frank. Yeah. Like, we're dealing with it's men here. You know, big decisions have to be made. We've all had disappointing things done to us. Somebody left me out an FA Cup final.
Did they?
Never forgot that.
Imagine how bitter Maguire will be.
But Ruud thought about not doing it in case he upset me. So, what doesn't make sense is the fact that Lindelof was playing alongside Varane. Then he had the incident where his house was broken into whilst he was playing. His family were in it. They were traumatised. That's understandable. He went back to Sweden, took some time off, and then he either had an injury or or somebody had COVID and he had to isolate, one of the two. But to bring a player that you've dropped back in and bring him back in as the captain doesn't quite seem right to me.
Right.
Those two things don't fit, I don't think.
Don. Let's go Jan, actually. Jan, is Thomas Tuchel now in the same league of Chelsea managers as Jose Mourinho? He's won the Champions League, the Super Cup, and now the Club World Cup. Plus, he can win the League Cup in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God. This is what you're dealing with.
I would say that Thomas Tuchel is one of the best managers around. And after he won the Club World Cup, he is probably the best manager in the world. So, absolutely, I agree with the guy. Who sent you that question? But Thomas Tuchel.
Come on, Jay Deep. What's Jay Deep saying there? Come on.
What's wrong? What's wrong, Don?
Better than Jose, what he's done at Chelsea, surely. Because he's got a Club World Cup and a Super Cup.
Jan says with a straight face he's the best manager in the world.
No, I haven't said that. I said when he came to England, I said when he came to England, he's one of the best coaches around and he will handle Chelsea. He did that with the Champions League. And I know there is some bitter people who will say that he's not at this Premier League, but he still won the Club World Cup.
He's not going to let it go. Who won the Club World Cup last year? You got 3 seconds.
I have no idea.
Exactly. See, I told you. Such an important. Who won it? I knew I'd get them. Who won it last year? Who cares? Who won it the year before? Who cares? Who won it this year? Who cares?
But Craig, I can't find my glasses. I don't know where I left them this morning either.
You have it in the memory bank.
Oh, dear. Was it Liverpool? Do Juventus have the chance?
Don't say it was if you knew. Somebody just told you.
No, it wasn't.
No, Liverpool beat Chelsea. Yeah,
you never remember.
Do the Juventus have the chance of winning the Scudetto this season, Don, after Inter and Napoli drew?
No. No, Juve this season are a mile off.
Oh.
They're a mile off. They've signed Vlahovic, who'll play with Dybala. Morata's been in decent form. I don't think they've got enough in midfield, Dan. I don't think they've got goals in midfield. Their points tally behind Inter, who are far superior side. I think if you ask Max Allegri now, I think he'd take top four. That's as good as they're going to get.
For Craig, parentheses, the next Manchester United manager. After another abysmal performance, do you think there's any manager that can get this Manchester United Galacticos to perform?
I don't think the performance was... I've seen it. I don't think it was abysmal.
Right.
I mean, I've seen it a lot. There's been a low bar this season quite a lot. This was better.
Okay.
This was better. That's how bad it's been at times. But this was better. What's the question? Is there any manager?
Which manager?
Yeah. I think the three managers in the Premier League that are in the top three at the moment would all... One's just won the Club World Cup. Yeah. If that's not enough to get you the Man United job, they'd love to win that competition at the moment. Yeah. Very prestigious, apparently. Those three have put it right. Klopp and Tuchel's done well. Klopp and Guardiola stand out for me.
Okay.
They just stand out. The way that they've changed the dynamic of how their teams have played over a longer period has to be said. But there is a real identity of the coach and their teams. Amazing stuff, really.
Yeah.
What Klopp has done at Liverpool, bearing in mind where they've came from.
Yeah.
City have come from a different bit. City already had that success domestically under a previous Pellegrini, Mancini. But Liverpool, Klopp comes in at a team that almost won the league and then fell flat under Brendan Rodgers. Then they fell away. That was a big rebuild to get to where they are. And what he's done has been incredible.
And he won the Super Cup and the Club World Cup as well, didn't he?
But not as important as the Premier League, Don.
Don, this is for you. I don't think this guy likes Salah. If Salah would pick up his head and pass the ball occasionally, he would lead the league in assists. Egypt would have won the African Cup of Nations and Liverpool would be contending for the title. Who is the biggest ball hog?
Well, they are contending for the title.
Yeah, who is the biggest ball hog that you've ever played with?
Crikey, that's harsh on the best player in the world, isn't it? Teddy?
Yeah.
That's a little bit harsh. I mean, he's playing for Egypt and there's only one or two players in the Egyptian side that are actually any good. So to drag them all the way to a final, I thought it was unbelievable. And you criticise his assists and his goals.
Yeah.
Harsh, that is.
Dear. That's a modern day. People are just looking for perfection.
Oh, dear. So, Don, obviously when we played in the playground at recess, there was always one kid who would hog the ball.
Yeah.
Does that happen at a professional level? Or is it kind of, you can't make it that far if you're going to be like that?
Dressing rooms just wouldn't have it.
Right.
Dressing rooms wouldn't allow someone, you'd nail someone in the dressing room, you'd nail someone on the training ground. No, wouldn't happen. Just wouldn't happen. They wouldn't survive if they were doing that these days.
You agree, Jan?
Yeah, and especially in England, and that's what I like to play in English football. I mean, I played for four different clubs in England, and you have this kind of same culture, same types. And although I was a goal getter, I was a number nine, I wanted to score my goals, but I knew that to get the passes back, to get the crosses back, I had to try to be involved with the rest of the team. And as Don is saying, there is a culture in the dressing room, they would be killed.
Wow.
I'm just thinking here, I had four events I had to go to. Chelsea supporters events.
Oh, really? Do you think you'd be invited?
I'm a bit worried that I'm not going to be invited.
I wouldn't pen those in. Final question for all four of you.
I love going to these events, you know.
If you could be a Winter Olympic athlete for your country, which sport would you try to medal in?
What do they call that big one? Eddie the Eagle.
Ski jump.
The ski jump.
Yes.
Yep.
We won today.
No helmet, nothing.
No?
Nothing. Just only one ski.
No.
Why would you do that?
What?
Why would you do it with only one ski and no helmet?
One ski, no helmet. Yeah. I'm an aerodynamist.
Yes.
Just down.
Aerodynamist. Is
exactly.
That, is that a word?
Well, it is now.
No.
Yeah, what about called, you? Norway's won a million medals, haven't they?
Yeah, and it's funny that he said Eddie the Eagle today because that ski jumping in a big hill, we won it today.
Right.
Lindvik won it for us, 8th gold. But if there is one to win, there is always in every sport, there is one to win. That is downhill, the alpine skiing. That is the toughest guys. Yeah. That is the Formula One drivers going down those hills.
Okay. Don, Scots are good at curling. Do you fancy a bit of curling?
I don't like curling. No, I tell you what I do like, though. I like the biathlon.
Oh.
Yeah, we won it today biathlon. As well.
Skiing, and then you sort of ski, you burn about 10,000 calories, you get the gun off the back of your neck and you hit the targets.
Calories. Can you get like Olympic medals for burning calories, Don?
No, I just mean like you've got to be super fit. Like it's one of the most calorific events, I think, where it's like outrageous on the calories.
Don, somehow you've got to slow shoot yourself in the foot, I feel.
Well, the beauty of that sport is you're going, or you're burning so many calories and you're out of breath. And then by the time you get to the target, you've got to slow your heart rate down to almost zero, try and take the shot on. 5 of them, whatever it is, and then you've got to go again and get maximum. So your heart rate is how they hit the targets, I'll never know.
Is that a biathlon? Is that a diet? It's not a diet.
That's not your sport, Jan.
You'd be no good at that. I love biathlon. No. I love
you
biathlon.
Can do that.
I would do that for my body now.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Biathlon.
I always find it a bit weird having a sport where you're skiing with a gun in your back.
Yes. Yeah.
Very weird, isn't it? You shoot.
It was developed by soldiers, apparently.
You can imagine Don, though, as you said, falling over and the gun going off.
Then he takes a selfie of himself.
He's got the what do you call it? I don't know.
The gun?
No, the
bike?
The
trigger?
Yeah, the security, what do you call
he's
it?
Gone.
Safety.
Craig is gone.
He's got the safety off. And it goes off, shoots his ear off. He manages to take a photo of himself.
On Instagram.
Doing it, right? Shoves it on Instagram within 5 seconds. And then
the calorie count.
Yeah, but I've got no ear left because I've just shot it off. But I have lost 4 pints of blood and 8,000 calories. Winning. What would you do then? Go on. Bobsley?
It's a bit scary, the bobsleigh, isn't it?
Put your headphones.
Did you see the Brazilians in the bobsleigh?
No.
Horrendous.
What happened?
Oh, they fell over.
Oh.
What, before they got? What do you mean?
The Brazilians fell over on the start.
Oh, no.
I've not watched any of the winter. I can't get into it.
Okay.
Dan could be a one in curling. I can see Dan doing that with a sweeper.
Yeah,
going like a figure skating.
I tell what to do.
He'd be figure skating.
You're not doing that right. Sweep harder.
Do you know what my Saturday night is?
Little figure skater.
Little figure skater.
Yeah. Twirling, doing some twirls.
Yeah. Double axle.
I think I look beautiful,
that's
right?
It.
It's 6:10 now here.
Yes, it is.
6:12.
Yes.
My wife thinks we're going back and we're going out for a meal. We're not.
Nice.
No.
Oh.
Well, let me finish. We're not.
Why not?
You're disappointed. Ooh. I am going back.
Kind of disappointed. That's
no, I'm going back and I feel bad about it to watch a full rerun of the Club World Cup. Because I feel bad. She's thinking about a steak dinner, big one tonight, ribeye, the full lot, glass of wine.
Nice.
It's off.
Wow.
Wow.
What a great ending.
What a happy home.
That's man. And I'll come in my day off tomorrow, Monday, not tomorrow, the Super Bowl's on.
Right.
And I will give a full analysis on the Club World Cup.
Okay, beautiful.
And I won't mention Chelsea being 16 points off Man City at the top. I won't mention it.
To be fair, Cheryl might be happy that she doesn't have to go have dinner with
I'm happy, you know how much that
exactly.
costs.
Exactly, that is it. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. What's happening tomorrow? It's Catalan Dominic. Espanyol taking on Barcelona. And Super Bowl, who do you want to win? Who's going to win?
Chelsea,
good. Yes.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.